Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to wrap up this week. We've been talking about the amazing reality of the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us through the person of Jesus, who is the one anointed with the Holy Spirit and glorified by the Holy Spirit at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He's the beginning of the new creation, the hope that the church talks about, the confidence that we have about our eternal destiny, of the calling that's in us. We see it in Jesus. It's manifested in him. So much so that the Holy Spirit, sent by the Lord Jesus, gives us faith conviction that what we see in Christ is ours. We will inherit it. Why? Because we're children of God. Because we've been adopted through baptism into a new life, into a new creation, into the amazing eternal reality of the kingdom of God that Jesus has established and made a way possible for us to come and be united with him. So amazing. Friends, all week I've been talking about this, and in such an excited way, I think I forgot to tell you how you can have access to this program that can encourage you. Go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are there. Archived, you can listen to Sister Ann's beautiful program and the YouTube videos that we're creating at Renewal Ministries and all the resources to help strengthen you in this time. You know, right now, all of us have experienced the shaking that's going on in the nations, the disruption, the trouble, the redemptive discipline of the Lord that's on the church. Even the Lord is exposing and emptying the idols of the world right before us, our politics, our economics, are you name it. It's just, we see the limitations of it, the weakness of it. It's not in a good place, and it shakes people. And then we see the divisions that are in the church. Same thing, shakes people even more. A letter to the Hebrews says that God says, I will shake the earth again, and so that what is shakable may be revealed, so that we learn to see the difference between what is shakable, what is unshakable, and we let go of what is shakable. We cling to idols. We cling to things for security, whether it's politics or popularity or being in the in-group or our finances or the right neighborhood or driving, being on the right team, whatever it is. We pursue these things with passion and we cling to them and they become like our identity. And they literally then become idols, a replacement for God, and they're lifeless. They can't give us the life we need. And at the end of the day, they don't deliver. And so we're living at this time and the Lord is allowing us to be shaken and he wants his church to be shaken. So the church lets go and we cling to what is unshakable, the Lord himself. And we start focusing on it and we get radically committed to it and we surrender to it and we put our trust in him. And the trust in the Spirit that we've been given in baptism as members of the body of Christ. And all of a sudden, everything begins to change. We see the value of the sacraments, of the Eucharist, of the Word of God, of serving the poor, of giving our lives away, walking in humility, desiring to become a saint. All that stuff gets birthed in us as we yield ourselves more to the unshakable reality, the kingdom that's given to us in baptism, in confirmation, in the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to end today with some practicals around the meaning of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and hopefully we'll have a few minutes to end in prayer. But again, just some very interesting, helpful, inspiring paragraphs from the Catechism that situate what we're talking about here. It said, paragraph 727, it says, the entire mission of the Son, that's Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the fullness of time is contained in this, that the Son is the one anointed by the Father's Spirit since the Incarnation. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Messiah is another word for Christ. Christ is another word for anointed. Jesus is the one filled with the Spirit. Paragraph 737. The Spirit prepares men, the Holy Spirit prepares men and goes out to them with his grace in order to draw them to Christ. See, the Spirit is the first, friends, the first missionary, the one who goes out to draw us in. Nobody gets drawn into the Lord and can say Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. The paragraph 737 continues, the Spirit manifests the risen Lord to them, amen, recalls his word to them and opens their minds to the understanding of his death and resurrection. Wow, there's so much there, friends. You know, search this out. Google Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 737, and just chew on this. The Spirit makes present the mystery of Christ supremely in the Eucharist in order to reconcile them and to bring them into communion with God that they may bear much fruit. Yeah, it's abiding in the Lord is another phrase there. One of my most favorite paragraphs in the Catechism is this one, 667. Jesus Christ, having entered the sanctuary of heaven once and for all, intercedes constantly for us as the mediator who assures us the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why is there a fresh grace of the new Pentecost, even in the midst of the trial and difficulty and the compromise that's in the church in so many ways? Because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who's permanently reigning at the right hand of the Father in glory, intercedes constantly for this outpouring, the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's so good. Father Cantalamessa described the charismatic renewal, the movement, one of the key movements in which this awakening to the Holy Spirit has happened in this generation. He said, let me say again, the charismatic renewal was born to renew the whole church and not just one part of it. He's now Cardinal Cantalamessa, by the way. He said, St. Pope Paul VI said it was an opportunity for the church. Charismatic renewal was born with a powerful drive to return to the essentials of the Christian life. What are those essentials? The Holy Spirit, the Lordship of Christ, the Word of God, the sacraments, the charisms, prayer, evangelization. This is the secret of its explosive power. It simply accentuates what should be common and normal for every baptized person. Baptism in the Spirit is not a human invention. It's a divine invention. It is the grace of a new Pentecost. It's not about charismatic renewal inventing the baptism in the Spirit. Rather, it is a grace. It depends on the Holy Spirit. It is a grace meant for all the baptized. The external signs can be different, but in its essence, it is an experience meant for all the baptized. He's absolutely right. It's the renewal, friends, of our baptismal and confirmation graces that we receive. The church doesn't need just better music or better liturgies. I mean, those things are good. Jesus is always present in the liturgy when it's performed, right? Or more beautiful churches, or more money in the bank, or more acceptance in Washington, D.C., or whatever, more clout in the culture. The Lord's taking a lot of that away, by the way, and that's what we need because we lean on those things more than we lean on a radical dependence on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is allowing the church to be stripped now, and this is a good thing because when we get stripped of the props that we're leaning on, and the kind of the whole edifice that in some ways man himself has created to lean on and to trust in, the Lord at a certain point, if we've lost our priorities, if we've lost our first love, if we're not yielding to the presence of the Spirit, if the kingdom of God is not breaking forth from us like he said it would, and it did in the apostles and saints and many others in history, if that's not happening, the Lord comes to deal with what's separating us from that happening. So here's a description of the kind of the nature and the manifestations of what happens as we grow in the Holy Spirit and we receive this grace of baptism in the Spirit. What is it essentially? It's the revelation from the Spirit of God to the spirit of the believer that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Holy Spirit's first mission is to reveal the Lordship, the new creation, the kingdom, the presence of God fully in the person of Jesus. Ultimately, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that this is true, that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that's going to happen in the second coming. Every single knee will bow, every angelic creature, everything will acknowledge that. But we want now the church and the outpouring of the Spirit and baptism and the rest of the sacraments is for this reason. So we're ready to say it and confess it before he comes again in glory. It also is the personal experience of the Holy Spirit working in me in a new way. It's very personal too. The Spirit comes alive in a new way and workings begin to happen that I have not experienced in my life. It's not automatic. It doesn't take control over us or anything like that, our freedom. But there's an awakening and a responsiveness to the working of the Spirit to which my freedom is directed. Okay, and the Holy Spirit simply begins to act in me in a new way. New experience of his spiritual gifts, his power at work in me, accompanied by a release of charisms and special gifts. And there's also at the core of it a change in our relationship with God, not necessarily theoretically, because we're already children of God if you've been baptized into Christ. Ontologically is what I meant to say. That transformation has happened in baptism, that you've received the Christ life and you're born again and you become a child of God. But the question is, are you going to live like a child of God? And are you led into a way of life that's responsive to the full outgrowth of the implications and the reality of what we received at baptism? It's a change in our relationship with God whereby we begin to experience what he promised, the renewal of living a vital, expectant faith, and all kinds of things begin to emerge. The heart begins to sing, praise and worship. Spiritual gifts are manifested. We rediscover things we've always had, like people begin to pray and fall in love with Scripture and the sacraments and the mission of the church, and it starts to mobilize people, and their heart begins to change and want to serve the poor. You want to spread the gospel. You want to put these things first now. And the people start manifesting charisms. Signs and wonders begin to become possibilities. I mean, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, friends, I never saw anything miraculous. I mean, I just thought that was for the old times. That was just for the apostles or a few really peculiar people in the history of the church, the super saints, that the Lord did that stuff through. But that's not the case. I mean, he certainly did it through them. But he wants the church to manifest his kingdom now. I've seen many healings and signs and wonders in my life. Other things, you know, grace is received in baptism and confirmation, as the recent polls told us, often lay dormant. They need to be awakened and fully released. And this is what happens in the baptism in the Spirit. But remember, baptism of the Spirit is not conversion, which is something we do by his grace, turning to him in repentance. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is something God does in us, giving us a new capacity and a new power to live a new way of life, the life he's called us to, of grace, of power for holiness and mission, to fulfill the first commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor as yourself, and the great commission to go make disciples of all nations. So friends, it's not complicated. The Lord is here. He loves us. He wants us to come into an awareness of the fullness of what we've been given in baptism. And so I'd like to pray with you this morning. And it really begins by simply turning your heart to him and saying, Jesus, I want to turn to you. I want every area of my life to be given to you. And to the degree that I haven't given you things in my life and I've clung to idols or walked in habit patterns of sin, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for my sins, Lord. I want all that you want for me. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to become the Lord of my life and to release in me the graces of my baptism and confirmation. I pray that you would baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your gifts. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your workings on my life and fan into flame the graces that you've given to me. Breathe on me again, Lord. Breathe on that fire that it might fill my soul, my mind, and my heart. Awaken in me the charisms given to me in baptism and confirmation, Lord. Set my heart on fire with love for you and my neighbor and for your great mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed weekend, friends. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.